Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions expressed do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 419-528-TDRK to leave a voicemail, and we just may play it on the show.
Oh, nothing. Sorry, I had to turn off the fan.
Oh, nothing.
I had a ceiling fan on. Which happens to not be that great for the recording, so.
It was bothering me.
What was, the ceiling fan? Or me being away?
No, just the ceiling fan.
Okay. Yeah, the chain was knocking against the lights. The globe.
Okay.
Yeah, at roughly 72 beats per minute. Like a healthy heart.
I think you're sick.
What do you mean?
Like 72 beats per minute.
I'm not actually counting.
How many times am I punching you a second? I don't know. It hurts.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
If I was sick, I would have actually like loaded up some kind of web app and countered it.
Well, maybe. So we were talking on the phone a little bit earlier, and I said,
"You're going to take me to task or something, aren't you?"
No, I'm not going to take you to task. You're
going to mop up the carpet with me.
You were saying
with my luxurious hair.
You cut the show off at 45 minutes,
right?
And I said, why? And you said, well, your other shows are like 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, I can't make 7 3-hour shows a week.
Right.
And since I don't really care about what you do or what happens to you, I didn't realize that you did that many. And I said, how many shows do you do?
Uh-huh.
And the answer was said, on my network?
No, that I am personally involved in.
Okay.
Yeah.
On your network.
Right. Yes. My personal network.
It just made me think of somebody who buys a basketball team because they got cut from all the others.
Oh,
like you're like a dictator and people like lose to you on purpose.
Who's losing to me? The listeners? I mean, obviously
I
they're losing, but
I think the world.
Yeah. This is
just bring a bad name to download.
It's like an unceasing sewage drain that just kind of like dumps out.
That's so bad.
You have access to the page. Like you can go and see how much shit is on here. Chris,
I'm taking my ball and going home. You're like, I'm going to build my own court.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, so like the network was built up, you know, kind of like as a result of my depression about not getting a job. That's what you're referring to, right?
No, I'm not referring to anything. I'm going to allow you to dig your own hole.
No, but just like, so like you chose that metaphor. You chose that metaphor about, you know, I'm taking my ball and building my own court, right? No. I mean, like I was doing, so it started with DTR, which I continued doing after college to stay close to my friends and keep my chops sharp, right? And then we did this thing because we really like You Look Nice Today and Yeah Dude and a bunch of other shows. We're like, yeah, we can do that. We have a good rapport.
Sure.
And banter. Then, what's that?
We have banter.
Yeah, get a little back and forth going. Some dialogue. Yeah, some jibber jabber, as Mr. T would say.
Oh, you are on point, my friend.
What do you mean?
I was listening to another podcast today.
Okay.
In the pot, not yours. Not one of yours.
It's really, really hard not to listen to one of mine because
there are others. Turns out they build the walls of the internet higher because you're filling it so quickly.
Oh man! So I am the internet's Katrina.
Good taste is drowning.
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 Yes, there we go.
Sorry. And on this other podcast, they were interviewing Ice-T.
Okay.
Okay, actor, rapper, Ice-T.
Yeah, a Renaissance man.
Yes, of
like
course.
Like Danny DeVito in the movie The Renaissance Man.
And they bring up the fact, like, exactly. And they bring up the fact that back in 1985 or 83, one of the two, Ice-T wrote the lyrics for an after school like positive news album that Mr. T rapped on.
Okay.
And they say, well, what was that like? And Ice-T's like, well, they told me they were going to give me $25,000. So I said, shit, I can write that. And they're like, well, what was it like to work with Mr. T? He's like, well, you know, I mean, he's like back in 83, Mr. T, well, he wasn't taking too much instruction.
I love the idea of like working with Mr. T as a loose cannon in the studio.
Exactly. So he's like, so I asked him, I said, hey, Mr. T, what you doing for Thanksgiving? Mr. T said, I don't eat. So what are you doing? What do you do, Mr. T? He says, I feed the hungry. I clothe the naked.
Oh, I know that this is just parroting stuff that was on another podcast.
Well, it wasn't. They didn't make it up. Like, this is right. This is Ice-T saying this.
Yeah.
Oh, it was incredible.
which podcast was that? Bullseye or something?
Yeah, it was Bullseye.
Okay. Mr. T wasn't taking much instruction. He was feeding the poor and clothing the naked. He did not eat.
What do you do Thanksgiving?
I don't eat.
Which interesting fact I learned from that is that Mr. T like came about from winning a best bar bouncer competition.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't know that.
He did. He wanted to be a dancer.
So he also really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I deadlift the most necklaces.
Oh man, doing the bum toss. Yeah.
It's a hard squat life.
What's that one factoid that we always like to say, Mr. T has T cell leukemia?
I think that's what it is, or yeah. Three nipples.
Like Scaramanga?
Chlamydia is curable? I don't know. We have a lot of stuff.
We do. We do. The female orgasm is a myth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Female can only orgasm when she drinks straight from the Holy Grail.
I think that she might have just been lying to me.
My bad.
Yeah, Mr. Like, so why is Mr. T such a salient and powerful cultural touchstone?
The Holy Grail's gone. They put in a lift chair. What? Why now?
I don't understand. Like the bridge in Indiana Jones' The Last Crusade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. Like, why is Mr. T such a salient cultural reference even now? You know, 40 years later.
I think it's because he's timeless.
He is. What was he? He played Kimbo Slice in his biopic.
I don't know.
Kimbo Slice played him in the biopic.
Exactly.
No, wait. Kimbo Slice played him in the A-Team remake, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's always, and this is what I learned, there's always a new Mr. T, but there's never another Mr. T.
That's...
The T's will continue to be written, but they're way in descending size. And you know what I mean? Like, the T's will always get smaller.
The Book of Life is about 1,400 pages long. The first page is nothing but a big T. And then it is progressively smaller T's until there are two T's on a page, and then three, then four, down to microscopic T's.
Exactly. Or maybe a better way to say it is there was only ever one capital T, and everyone else will be lowercase.
Yeah. No, I think it would be more appropriate if he was a lowercase T, because that's the cross and he's the savior.
You know, they pitched the Foreman grill to him first. He decided to throw his entire backing into jammer pants.
Or those like Jenkins?
No, those big wide leg pants that MC Hammer wore.
Oh, okay.
Flowing.
Yeah, Jenkins.
Things you wad up and use as a pillow because you're bankrupt.
Oh, he pulled out. He just had a bunch of people who were taking advantage of him.
He had like 9 kids.
That's true.
Get it?
No, I don't.
Oh, he pulled out.
No, that was pretty good.
I'm not bringing you back for another one.
I'm glad
you can die on the door like Leo.
I'm glad you brought me back for that one, though. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that a lot. I don't even know. Yeah, I do a fuckload of shows.
In synopsis.
Okay, so for those of you who
don't know medical terms.
You're on fire. You're on fire.
We haven't done this. Feels like it's been forever since we did this.
Kind of. I mean, it's been the usual, what, like 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're not just wearing on me like you usually do.
And you as well. No, it just we had a little bit of phone tag getting this scheduled.
Yeah. We scheduled it like what, four times?
Yeah, four or five times.
Busy life for not doing much.
Yeah, I know, right? Like I've got nothing going on really. All said and done.
Mitch, you had the Father's Day get together.
Yeah,
though.
Sorry about that. I had to go to a Mountain Goat show.
Okay.
You a fan of live music?
I can't. I've seen in person the Eels and Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Oh, you've like existing where we exist. You've likely been to see like maybe Phil Dirt and the Dozers. Mom and her friends probably took you
like
to see
maybe
that.
Like once. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a lot of live music.
Well, wait a minute. So like 10 years ago, we went to see the Eels in Cleveland, and that was the last show that you've been to?
Yeah, you you didn't wear your panties that night.
What?
You took them off and threw them on stage.
Ah, no, he walked right by me.
Yeah, he did.
Mark started up in the balcony playing his harmonica.
Speaking of letters.
What? Oh, E, yeah.
Mr. T, E? Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. E. Yeah, Mr. E's Beautiful Blues, huh? Oh, man, wheels within wheels, Chris. Yeah, no. It started up in the balcony, and then he came down, and I was right up by the stage, and he walked past me and hopped up, and it was a good show. I liked that show. No, I went to see the Mountain Goats, and I discovered that a perk of living where I live is that a bus line runs right to this concert venue, so I was able to get drunk as fuck. You there?
Yeah, no, you got wrecked.
Yeah, so that was that
and
was
then got
time.
On public transportation,
which is what it's for. Chris, can you name one other reason that public transit exists?
Germ study.
I did not touch anything. It's difficult because I usually like to hold on to a rail or something like that. You know, like right now I'm clutching the edge of my desk.
I refused to hold on to the rail. So I sonic spun all on the floor to maintain position.
Yeah. I rode on my Segway so I would stay gyroscopically stable.
Hey.
Yeah. No, I...
Yeah, I put a reference in there for you. You sonic spun to maintain position.
No, I get it.
You got that?
Yeah. So you go to see live comedy though, right?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one notable. I've seen some people back in their day.
No, oh, yeah, you know, you discovered a couple of people.
No, I didn't discover them.
So sent a couple of letters to the networks, you know.
I didn't like, oh my god, you gotta come tonight. And then they put them on stage. It was like they were on the bill.
Okay. No, just going down to a couple of open mic nights, you know, just recruiting a couple of ham and eggers.
Bag those groceries and make me laugh.
What are your views on the Iran-Contra scandal?
Well,
that was like 30 years ago. I'm sorry, I have not refreshed my recruitment pitch.
Right.
Oh, man. Usually people can riff. I am going to put you down for bad marks, sir. And also don't put that watermelon on top of the eggs.
That's funny. Asking a grocery store bagger about current events.
That's probably the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Why are you laughing?
Well, because it's so, because it is exactly so dumb.
Oh, my bad.
That's pretty good. So, Chris, what episode is this?
I have no idea.
It is episode number 100.
I don't know where I looked. I talked off mic. There's a wall there.
You're looking up at you were looking up at your beautiful mind wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
No, it's episode 119 of
The comedy podcast, Those Damn Ross Kids.
My name is Cole.
I'm Chris.
And we're here to entertain your asses with a preamble and then a prepared set of remarks about current events. Now I'm not going to be able to unsay it.
Yeah, well.
I mean, technically the edit function on this computer, this program that I'm recording to, is the unsay button.
Could just make it a lost episode. We've done that.
Yeah, we've done that. But, I've held
that
on.
Was a horrible episode.
I've held on to those, but I've not gone back and listened.
The one was lost because of technical difficulties, but the other one was just horrible.
Yeah, yeah. No, no, we're not afraid to call a mulligan. You know, if you've listened to the stuff we cover, like we're proud to put our names on, like just imagine how bad something would have to be that we are not. That we're not going to put our names on it.
Oh, it's bad.
Yeah. It's there. I just don't want to listen to it.
No.
I think I suffered a head injury or something.
I'm pretty sure I was depressed.
Oh, man. I can count on two hands the number of episodes where I haven't been depressed.
Hmm.
Mm. Oh, so, well. Yeah. Chris, do you want to tell me a story?
I will. There's a British guy.
Off to a good start.
He is 39 years old.
Okay, middle age.
He went into a bar.
As you do.
And placed an unidentified object under a woman's skirt.
Was it a camera? No, Britain, not Japan.
The police were called and they said that he was trying to take a photo, but police said the suspect told them, quote, maybe I was trying to light a fart. It could have been a joke. Maybe someone says, I bet you a fiver you light her fart.
I don't know. Suppose maybe I walk up to a lady and she's had some flatulence. So I say, hey, lady, I've got a lighter. And maybe spark up one of your flatuses.
Flatuses. That's funny. Sounds like burnt salmon.
That's what happens when you light a flautist on fire.
Boshkies.
So did he really phrase that? Like,
yeah,
maybe
I was trying to light a fart.
Yeah, it's a real nice skirt you got there. It'd be a shame if something happened to it.
Maybe he had that light wrap on his phone.
So stupid. Did I mention I went to live concert here recently? Fortunately, people were cool enough not to do that, but I fucking hate that.
Why?
When people hold up their phones as lighters? No, because I'm not a r***.
As a mirror?
No, because again, I'm not one of those words that I'm going to have to bleep out.
You don't need a mirror app. You just reverse the camera.
I know, but there's a camera facing you, and all of those apps are is just a way to like send that camera to something that has like a frame around the edge.
Oh
yeah.
Is it mahogany?
I think that there's a microtransaction. There's an in-app purchase. Like it gives you like just like a regular, you know, like a bathroom mirror, like with those little plastic brackets around it that holds it in place. Looks like it holds it in place, but then you get like a nice like gold leaf finish oriental dragon kind of.
That's
feel.
Where you bought a kid.
What?
A microtransaction.
No, that's when you buy a baby. I don't know. I think you missed it.
You buy a fetus.
Have you seriously never heard the word microtransaction before?
No.
Oh, wow. I forget that not everybody swims in the same sea I do. We are ships passing in the night.
Careful.
What?
It's nighttime. You shouldn't be driving a ship.
Yes. No. All ships find port. Oh no, sun's coming down.
It wasn't until like 1790 we figured out you could drive a boat at night.
Chris, that's technology. That's the advancement of the humankind, the race. But yeah, so was that really the way that he phrased it? Like, you know, there's no way to prove I wasn't doing this stupid thing.
Mm-hmm. Prove it.
So
got pictures?
Shit.
I do.
Got like seven of them. Oh man, so it's a hypothetical upskirt.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I like that.
It's a flaming upskirt.
Yeah. No, there are cameras everywhere. We're walking around. You got two cameras inside your pocket, you know, at all times, at least three microphones. If one was a conspiracy type, you'd say, "Hey, maybe somebody's watching me." Chris, I want to talk to you about something really serious.
Okay.
Okay. The NOAA, the National Oceanic Association Advancement, something like that. I don't know. The weather people, weather.gov. They had to, recently in the past couple of weeks, issue a statement outright saying that mermaids do not exist. Because some channel, the History Channel or some garbage, is putting out these documentaries like talking about proof that mermaids exist. And there's a certain percentage of people who believe that mermaids exist, okay?
It's like mermads.
That's only if you like get them angry. It's if you they turn into mermads if you don't cut up your six pack holders. That was dumb. Sorry.
No, it's cool.
So it's like 9% of Americans believe that
everybody gets one.
You let that one slide. Oh man.
Oh, that's on that one show that was funny that happened.
Oh yeah, the Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Oh man, got that talking baby.
That one show that was funny.
That chicken.
I have letters where you were proud to watch that show.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, I have them.
I was 14.
Were you that old?
Yeah. You went in 2001. I was born in 87, so I was 14.
I went.
Yes.
I went to fight mermaids?
Yeah. It was your penance for not cutting up your six-pack holders.
I'm going on mission.
No, I'm on mission.
I'm on mission for mermaid.
These mermaid menaces have plagued our beach communities long enough. No. Can I give you some other stats, Chris?
Yeah, go ahead.
14% of Americans believe that Bigfoot exists.
How many?
14%.
Yeah, that's probably right. There's always 10.
Yeah. So imagine that you know 10 people. One and a half of them will have a conviction that Bigfoot exists. I'm speaking specifically of the American Northwest Sasquatch or Sam Squanch, right? Okay.
Okay.
29% believe that. Go ahead.
Squanch.
Sam. 29% believe.
If I ever check into a hotel under an alias, my name will be Sam Squanch.
Sam Squanch. That's pretty good. But 29% believe that aliens exist. Okay. Now that doesn't seem unreasonable to me.
That aliens exist?
Yeah. That 29% of people believe that aliens exist. I think that is a vague statement.
Do you believe that?
I think that it is narcissistic and small-minded to believe that in such a large and infinite universe that there is no other form of life that could exist. Given that the conditions for life that we know of are just that one rock can be a certain distance from one kind of star, it has to happen statistically out there. Now, do I believe that aliens have come and, you know, done stuff to our butts? Not really. But yes, aliens do exist. I believe that wholeheartedly.
I had no idea you held such a strong belief that they didn't.
What do you mean?
You did explain why you don't, right?
What do you mean? Why I don't believe that they've been here?
Oh, it's a maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe that.
No, everything that you said led me to believe that it was a maybe. And then you concluded with, so yes.
So, no. I figured you were asking to clarify.
All the evidence that you just gave was a maybe.
Yeah, no, I believe that it is. It is statistically less likely that that we are alone in the universe than if we, you know, than that we are, you know, not alone in the universe, right?
Probably. I mean, there's a lot of room out there.
Exactly. That is literally all that I am saying. And given how many light years we are away from anything that is cosmically relevant, we're not going to see them, you know, unless we meet them halfway somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think?
I think that I like to put it into something that everyone can understand. To start.
Because I didn't.
No. Let's just say, because they tell you that space is constantly expanding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if you were to say that when you turned 18 and you were an adult, they gave you some clothes. You were just issued clothing. And those are the only clothes you were ever going to have, and that's just the way it was. And they gave you, like, clothes that were, like, three sizes too big.
Right.
You would expand to try to fill the space.
Right. Otherwise, you'd be wearing goofy
clothes. But we all have like a closet full of shit that we really can't wear. You know, we have, you know, you might in varying levels, you have stuff in your closet that is too small for you, yet you don't shrink to fit into that space.
Right.
So I guess what I'm saying is that if there's that much space and it's constantly expanding, there has to be growth. And that's why there has to be something. I'm not saying that like fully developed or anything like that, but there has to be something in a state of progress that is building to something that's going to take up that space.
Yeah, even if it's just like a little protozoa somewhere out there a million light years away, that is still alien life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not saying that they are, you know, hyper advanced with psychic powers and faster than light travel. You know, I didn't rent it shoes, Chris. It's not taking your turn.
No, I mean, on a long enough timeline, you're going to run out of lead.
But 29%. So given that view, given that we are both relatively rational people and we have those sound arguments, I'm more curious about the other 70%.
That don't?
Right.
You're suspicious of that.
No, I'm just curious as to what their reasoning would be. And finally,
it's probably God.
But I don't believe that the existence of aliens disproves God.
They do.
Okay. Yes, but I believe it's not relevant. Oh, man.
I'm pretty sure that dinosaurs are like scientists' craft projects.
Yeah. No.
Isn't that cute? What do you build? No, that's neat.
The fundamentalist argument against
good thing you have thumbs.
the fundamentalist argument against dinosaurs is either that humans coexisted with them. All you have to do is go to Erlanger, Kentucky, and go to the Creation Museum to see their dioramas. if you didn't,
is it like still shots from the Flintstones?
Kind of, yeah. Except oh, it's I believe that there is a statue of Jesus riding a raptor.
No, there's not.
I believe that there is. Mm-hmm. I'll never know for sure because I will not give them money to go in and see it.
That's nuts.
Like, if I could just go there and take pictures and walk out and say, neat, that'd be fine, but I'm not going to make a donation to them.
Is Hanna-Barbera the curator?
I believe that's two people. Although they got into... No, it was two people, but they are one person now because of a Jeff Goldblum-esque fly accident.
Hannah ate Barbera.
Yeah.
My bad.
Hannah Jack was insatiable.
Hanna. Jack Hanna.
Jack Hanna ate Barbara Streisand. Man.
No, isn't that the guy from the zoo?
Yeah, it is. Columbus guy.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I loved Wally Gator.
Zoo man. Great bait. Chris, but finally, this is the one that this is the meat of the matter, okay?
All right.
How many people do you say are like in your close circle, right? So for instance,
maybe like three or four.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So maybe expand a little bit more. I work with, let's say in my office, there are like just for purposes, 40, 50 people, something like that. Right.
Let's say hypothetically four of them know your name.
That's because I have withheld that information. So say there are 100 people that, you know, like you could look at their face and say, hey, I know what your name is.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not the same question, but go ahead.
I'm sorry. Okay, so of those 100 people, four of them, Chris, four of them believe that reptilians control the world.
Hmm. So that means that there's 96 people who aren't like me?
Oh, man. I probably... Before I was so dismissive, I probably should have gauged your interest in lizard people.
No, it's cool. I set it on a Lazy Susan and turned it.
No, I see what you did there. You subverted expectations. So yes, and
let check me pull the box, off this yes. mask.
Yeah.
Yes and yes.
Yes and yes. No, that's So yeah, I.
So this goes back to the lizard people, right?
Yes, it goes back to the reptilian lizard people. Have we talked about the reptilians?
You mentioned it. I didn't believe you.
No, it's a thing. The Earth is hollow. We are in the inside of the hollow Earth. On the outside, on the outside of the basketball, that is where the reptilians live. They're shapeshifters. All right.
Shapeshifter.
That's just one thing I don't understand.
Now, there's just one thing I don't understand. What are all these shapeshifters?
These shape-shifting reptilians.
Doing just laying around. Now listen here, see?
up here in the highest reaches of government. I'll leave you alone after this, but
now you want some popcorn. This is gonna be a minute.
You may want to take a bathroom break.
You want a barrel of sugar water?
you might, because you're a reptiloid.
Yeah.
So, but 4%.
Huh.
That means that if you know 25 people, one of them believes that reptilians control the world.
Man.
That was supposed to be funny, but it just depressed me. Tell me a story.
A conference being held at Australia's National University would normally fly under the radar. But when the topic is witchcraft, the equation changes. What experts are talking about, the fear that sorcery-related violence could spread from Papua New Guinea to other parts of the Pacific. There's been reports that deaths from diseases like AIDS tend to spur witchcraft accusations, and the former head of the Solomon Islands National Museum is saying that the reason why it's growing is because there is some kind of economic benefit people are receiving from these practices.
Oh, being paid, yeah.
So they're saying that annoy the problem and that country might end up with the same situation as Papua New Guinea, where they are actually physically killing people. It's those killings, including an example from February in which a 20-year-old accused witch was burned alive. That led Papua New Guinea to last week bring back the death penalty to deter those who were acting in sorcery or evil sorcery, as they say.
Okay, so they're enacting the death penalty to stop people from killing people who do witchcraft, or to stop witches?
To stop witches. The legislative changes, quote, don't necessarily mean an end to the problem, because the ratio of police to witches is quite low. When you've got an armed mob screaming for blood, there's nothing much a few policemen can do. And the fact is that police in Papua New Guinea are just as likely to believe that the accused witches are guilty as charged.
Yeah. An armed mob of witches.
Yeah, so it's a real life cartridge of ZAMN. Zombies Ate My Neighbors. They're just squirting them.
There were no witches in Zombies Ate My Neighbors. And why did you feel the need to abbreviate that?
You knew.
that's like the most ridiculous way to obscure the thing you were trying to say. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, so, I'm dropping breadcrumbs. Come with me.
Yeah, just leaving a little trail to happiness.
Okay, come with me to a quiet corner where we can laugh together. Because you get me.
Because we are one.
We are one.
We are one.
We are one.
Together we stand.
Cher?
No. I think I might have been doing Scott Stapp or what's his name? Eddie Vedder.
Creed.
Yeah, Scott Stapp from Creed.
Eddie Vedder from Creed. Bon Jovi's concert was canceled in Cleveland.
Was it?
FirstEnergyArena.com, yes.
It's his life. He can do what he wants.
It's, yeah, fuck you. I almost said it.
You almost sang it.
Yeah, I did.
I'm just
Bon Jovi's for closers.
Put that copy of Young Guns down.
Put that iPod down.
Put that copy of Young Blood down. Young Blood, Gold.
I think they're both movies. The Dusters.
Yeah. Always with the Dusters.
Pretty sure.
Dusters are for closers.
Dusters are for clothes.
Clothes are for dusters.
No, you're on the phone. Nobody can see you. Wear the duster.
Yeah. It's. Oh, man. I wish I could telecommute just so I could wear a duster around. No, but then Lane said, no, I don't. That's not actually a thing that I wish was a thing. Man, witches, Chris. Witches.
Eating hearts.
Yeah, eating hearts? More like breaking hearts. I fell in love with a witch once. I was a corporate middleman you know, middle manager, just running up, never really allowed to advance beyond my boss. His name was Larry, you see. She had a mom, you see, and an uncle who was really effeminate. My best friend, he was an astronaut. He was dating a fucking genie. Had to serve him. I don't know, man. It was a crazy neighborhood. There was this couple that moved out from the city to the country. And up the street, there was this creepy house with this Frankenstein's monster who was married to a vampire. And they had this hot chick as a niece, and they called her the ugly one. Wasn't half as bad as, you know, the house down on the corner. The other corner, you see, where it was an old bigot and his liberal daughter and son-in-law.
I love TV Land.
God, is a. I get sad.
No, that the props to you for that.
I get sad sometimes that nothing as good as All in the Family will ever be out again.
Some of the best writing occurred on MASH, actually.
Yeah, no, I like MASH too. But I get sad that, like, All in the Family is about as edgy as we're ever going to get.
Yeah, that was the zenith.
Yeah.
That could be watched on the zenith.
Yes, a 13-inch zenith. When you could fight it away from me, you know, when I wasn't playing SNES. Yeah. No, but just like I was watching, it was like late at night. I was home, so there was TV. Home by that I mean Mansfield, and Cheers was on. It was on network television, and they were bleeping Cheers left and right. Not bleeps, but it was like little silence, right?
Slip sliding away,
and I was like, how crazy is this? That a show that was out 20 years ago, we're bleeping that because they're saying damn. Like, Cheers is the most wholesome thing in the world, and they're bleeping it.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen back to, like, some of those roasts, like, the guy and the other guy, and they were...
He's calling his wife a whore. Blackface. He's in blackface calling Dean Martin's wife a whore.
She was.
It was a simpler time. Yeah, she was just there for the money.
Probably.
Ugh.
They could only do it if Newt Rockne was yelling, go, 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 go.
That was pretty good. I don't know. So we're talking about witches. And, you know.
We were a while ago. Yeah, you're right.
Who knows?
That is accurate.
At one point we talked about witches. Who knows how witch physiology works, Chris? Do they eat children? Do they eat bad wishes? I don't know. But there's one woman who, it seems, is bound to find out. Her name is Naveena Shine. She lives in Seattle, and she broke my heart. See, we had this neighbor who was an astronaut, and he had a genie, and she had to serve him. No.
She broke your heart record?
She went crazy on me and also on my turntable.
My bad.
Yeah.
Good on you for knowing a heart song. That's more than I knew.
It was right up there with Barracuda.
Barracuda.
But she's
Barracuda had no place in this conversation. Yet I'll throw it out as an alternate.
Yeah, no.
Number two, if you will.
Yeah, and it's an anatomy of a joke. Chris, two paths diverge on a wooded forest.
God, draw it.
What?
I said draw it.
Yeah, I've got a whiteboard right here. I'll do it.
Do you have a transparency overlay? Oh, this is where Chris fucks it up.
This is where. No, her name is Naveena Shine. And she is on a 100-day quest to determine if food is an addiction.
No, sunshine is.
Yeah, no, she wants to convince people that she can live on nothing but sunshine and tea.
Not possible.
She has installed surveillance cameras all around her house to help assure people that she isn't sneaking bites. Right? She says, I feel great.
That's how I might doze off every once in a while.
there's times where I go through blah. There's times where I think, should I stop this now? Does anybody have a saltine?
Can I get a scallop?
She says of food, it's like alcohol. Once you start doing something, you can't get off it. When they put all the addictions into the food to get you coming back for more. Food is so addictive.
Yeah, that's on the cereal box. Yeah. With all the addictives you need.
Yeah. So she's
all the addictives you like and the ones your mom wants you to have.
Yeah. Yeah. Kid tested mother. Yeah, so she's like 60 years old. She looks like a TV grandma. She weighs 129 pounds, down 30 pounds from when she started.
Soon to sign with Weight Watchers.
Yeah. No, she... How many points is sunlight?
How many... Exactly.
Yeah.
How many points are goodbye hugs from grandkids?
How many points are $5 checks?
God.
Good Lord. Yeah, no. But see, this seems like an act of faith, right? It's the idea that, you know, it's kind of like the Buddhist gurus who insist that they live on like one lentil a year, right? Like I've got chlorophyll in my skin or something, right? But she doesn't have that much faith because she has a lifeline. She's got a cup of fucking miso soup in her fridge in case she's going to die.
Miso soup.
Miso skeptical, Chris.
Well, she might make it.
Well, she might, but...
I got dibs on the soup.
Oh, man. You put that over a fire, you got a stew going. Man. Stew is any hot
maybe
liquid,
in Papua
right?
New Guinea.
I never quite understood what stew was. So that joke often falls flat for
me. It's hot in here.
It's any hot liquid. What?
Oh, you maybe turn the air off because it messes up the recording.
It does.
It's like 9 million degrees in here.
It is. It's hot in here too, Chris.
I'll be pull apart tender in a few minutes.
You won't even need a knife.
Oh, no. It's awful.
It is awful. Chris, you got one to take us out on?
Yeah, Dunkin' Donuts has introduced a new sandwich. It's called the Glazed Donut Breakfast Sandwich.
Oh, no.
It's a glazed donut cut into with fried eggs and bacon between. This comes as fast food chains play up their healthy items.
We're going in the other direction.
It weighs in at 360 calories, which I think is nice.
For a breakfast sandwich, that's not huge.
No, it's not horrible.
Like that's less than a Big Mac, which is weird.
Yeah. It they asked the corporate chef for Dunkin' Donuts if the sandwich was made
by
a
socially responsible behavior.
He was high. And
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, it was a suggestion from a customer, and he said nope.
So it's a glazed donut instead of bread. So immediately, this is something that just is going to ruin anything that you're around when you eat it.
Basically,
yeah,
yeah.
It's got what? Sausage, egg, bacon.
It's going to ruin a toilet at your first sales call. That's basically what it's going to. Toilets are for closers.
Oh, you shit or you walk.
I did this in the lobby. You're going to close. So.
Can you send back to the workroom?
I guess I'm a closer.
I need a pail and whatever industrial chemical fume hood you have.
Excuse me. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And goggles and a drop cloth.
Does your aisle wash station double as a bidet?
Now it does.
Because quite frankly, it's ruined for everything else.
Two jets, fancy.
Twin jets. Yeah, that's I don't know. Like, is
he's
that
got
where...
a stool?
Get a mop. I think there's a stool.
You got a mop. I think I stooled.
Yeah. No. So that's not worse than the McGriddle, though, right?
Probably not. No. I think McGriddle's like 780 calories.
Yeah. A McGriddle puts you into debt for the next day.
Yeah, basically.
I've never had one. We were talking about that at work today.
I'm on a McGriddle fast.
It's one McGriddle a week. It's one McGriddle, and you can only use the napkins that came with it to cry and blow your nose into. What's that?
I said I'll have the big month's breakfast. I'll eat it on 31-day months.
Those are the biggest months scientifically.
God, I can't wait. I'm counting knuckles.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
Okay, we're going to break on that, but I need you to explain to me what counting knuckles means.
You count your knuckles, and it tells you what...
Oh, 30 days has November, yeah. January, March, and for September.
Yeah. You can make up months if you want.
Yeah. Chris, all the world is a stage.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, there are things that people can do.
You're going to need to tell them.
Okay, cool. So you can go to duckfeed.tv/thosedamnrosskids, where you can find old episodes. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a rating or review, or like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/thosedamnrosskids. And if you would like to, let's see here, support the network monetarily, you can go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar, where you can buy something off of Amazon, and then we get credit for it. We get a little bit of money, and that helps cover fun things like hosting and bandwidth and all that good stuff. So we really appreciate that. If you do that, we really appreciate you subscribing, rating, and reviewing. But most of all, we appreciate you listening. Did I miss anything, Chris?
No. All right. Sorry, America.
Sorry, America.